Absolute Radio.
Manford. Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well. Steve Edge is here.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm good, yeah. I'm in Hastings, back home.
Oh, right, you're back.
Yeah, got the little red eye last night. It's not. I mean, I left at a normal time, but by the time you get back, it's a red eye. You know, you got to get a ferry off the island, and then the drive.
So you were in Gozo.
I was in Gozo. Gozo.
Gozo.
You're thinking of the Ghostbusters fella again, aren't you?
I know. I keep forgetting. So you're in Gozo.
Back home now. So I mean, that's that, isn't it? Yeah.
Nice. When did you get back?
I got back last night, about sort of 11 o'clock, and I'm going back
same as me, then.
Tomorrow, as it will be, goes out.
So you're back for the weekend?
Yes, my mother-in-law's birthday.
So busy weekend for Steve, and then you're back out, but a mystery project.
Well, I say a mystery project, but I think it's been announced on Thursday, so this will go out after that. So
fine, then.
If it is a mystery project anymore. What day is it?
What are you doing out there?
Oh, yeah, I think it's fine. Yeah, I'm doing the fourth series of Madame Blanc. Yeah, it's been announced. Yeah, it's been announced. Yeah, being announced on Thursday.
Is it fourth series now?
It's the fourth series, yeah.
Blimey. Yeah. It's flown by that, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, not when I was on that ferry yesterday, didn't feel like it was flying
no,
by.
No, that was not flying by, no, I bet. If you've not caught it, that's on Channel 5 and My 5. And,
best
and
on
as we discovered...
Yeah,
in the States, it's on
Acorn, but you can get Acorn on Amazon Prime. You know, it's like a little add-on, okay. You know, like Hulu and all those little things.
Oh yeah, like Paramount and all that.
Yeah.
And how would you describe it to someone who's never seen
it,
Steve?
It's what they call cozy crime, isn't it? It's an antiques
crime.
Expert solving antiques and historical
based
murders and you know forgeries and all sorts.
Yeah, like a cozy murder.
Yeah, in the south of France. It's all set in the south of France, but it is in fact filmed in
beautiful,
Malta.
Beautiful. Smash it. All right, we'll catch up on all that. So three series before the fourth one comes out. I got back off holiday last night as well.
Oh, so you came back last night as well,
from,
did you? Yeah. Portugal?
Yeah.
Where were you, Portugal?
We were in... we were in Crete.
Yes, that's right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, it was lovely. Very nice. Yeah, it was gorgeous. We did change hotels halfway through. Not because the hotel wasn't nice. It was almost too nice.
Yeah.
And we had children who...
Oh.
You know, when you go to a resort that is geared towards adults and couples. And then your kids are like screaming around, playing
but
Uno
the food
at,
and everything
fancy
is
dinner.
Geared for fancy dinners and romantic dinners. It's not for kids.
Yeah, it was a bit of that. So we were like, do you do nuggets in the a la carte? But thankfully, the Grec Hotel, which is where we stayed, had another more family orientated hotel. And so we went there. And I also discovered that some of our friends, you know, sort of friends, right. But they're friends now because we've basically spent our holidays together.
You meet them out
there? They're from Bramall, from where I live,
right.
And our kids are on the same football team, so our kids are friends.
Gotcha.
It's hard, isn't it, these days when you're making friends? Because as a kid making friends, it's so easy, isn't it? Because you just go, how old are you? I'm 7. Well, I'm 7 as well. Yeah. We should be friends.
Do you like Lego? Yeah, I like Lego. Brilliant. That's it,
yeah,
isn't it?
You live on my road. Let's be friends. Like the basics are so
basic. It's easy, isn't it? Yeah, it's very easy. Yeah,
easy. But as you get older, you're also a bit like, have I got time for more friends?
Yeah,
which is a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Really?
I know, but when you get old, there's a lot to learn about people. Isn't it? People have got opinions, and you know, strong.
Yeah, and they do slip them out every so often. You're like,
yeah, you find that you just as you tentatively, you know, making a new friend, they just suddenly say something, you go, oh no,
yeah,
oh dear. Just said,
yeah.
I mean, also they could just say Pacific instead of specific, and that would be
enough. That's enough to bin them off.
Yeah.
There was none of that, thankfully. They were actually really nice. I like the guy, Ben. Lucy got on with the wife, Heather, and then the kids got on because what you've got to look at now.
That's what you're looking for. Yeah.
You know, you can be friends. Then you've got to think, are our partners going to get on?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to think, are our kids going to get on?
Yeah, I do a thing with my son where I like some of the parents I meet at school the school pickup and drop off, but he doesn't like their kids. I'm like, you should play
tough.
With... You should, because then we can hang around with these.
Yeah.
Oh, you're playing with them, are you? Oh, that guy with the tabard on. Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear the high vis jacket every day. All right. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. But no, thankfully, we made friends. They were staying in a hotel, which I think they regretted. They called it the Mosquito Hotel, which I don't think that was its real name.
No, but if it was, they really lived up to it.
Yeah, so on one of the days, I just said, well, why don't you just come over to our hotel? It's massive. No one's even going to notice that you're in. You know what I mean? Like, just come in here, come to our hotel. And so then they just came every day.
Yeah, and they got stopped by the concierge going, "Send, you're covered in bites. You are not from the other hotel.
You're from the Mosquito Hotel.
Why are you scratching? You are from Matisco Hotel."
So they came. But do you know what the trick is? I've discovered on these sort of package holidays. We went with Jet2.
Yeah.
Package holidays. You go to these places. What you do, what you've got to do is your kids have got to make friends early doors with some other kids in the pool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you can have an holiday then.
Yeah, that's a dream, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. Off you pop. Go and play with your new friends. Mm-hmm. I'll have a quick chat with the dad at the bar and then I could just sit, read my book and chill out here. Because otherwise it's every 5 minutes. Can you get in the pool? Can you get in the pool? And I know we're there to be with our children.
Yeah, but you want 5 minutes to yourself.
It's no holiday,
hours.
Is it? It's no holiday. No. So yeah, you've got to just, those kids have just got to make friends early on. That's the trick.
That's the trick.
Questions for Steve. All right, I forgot. Again, I always forget about the one that goes high-pitched at the end.
Yeah, that's the beauty, that one, yeah.
It just catches you a little bit by surprise. I also like the idea that there's people just singing along to it in the kitchens and cars all over the country.
But waiting for the questions for Steve questions bit as for well. Steve.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got one here from Christine, who says, "Dear Jason and Steve, as a long-time listener to your podcast since 2018.
Oof.
I think that even predates you, Steve.
Seen before me, yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
Christ.
I mean, I was on the odd one, but yeah, before.
You were like you were a regular guest.
If you
guest,
were in London and I lived in London then that's when you'd do it, but yeah.
That's right, but we have lots of different people every week. And if you want to have a little listen to those old podcasts, there's loads. We've got all sorts, Sarah Millican, John Bishop, Peter Kay, lots of people on there. A question for Steve, though. Christine says, "As a nurse specialist, I often refer to muscle memory, the way in which the body is able to remember having done something more than once. It retains how to do something without having to think about it." Yeah. As an actor, Steve, how do you retain the ability to learn a script so quickly and are able to get straight back into that character? Do you have to have a photographic memory? Do you have to have a special part of your brain that the rest of us do not have? And also a question for you, Jason, having seen you in Something Rotten, how on earth did you learn that whole script with all the songs, choreography, and without cracking up in 6 days? Have you got a photographic memory? Please explain how both learn your lines and characters so quickly." Well, have you got a knack to it, Steve?
No, I sort of see it as black magic. I never question it.
Yeah.
Because I think if you look into what you're doing and how you are remembering these lines, then it would all fall apart. So I just...
Yeah.
I think on the first week of a 11-week
Well, Jimmy Carr says about dissecting a frog. Mm. If you dissect a frog to have a look at how it works, it doesn't work anymore.
No, yeah. Yeah, that's what they say about comedy, don't they?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like Billy Connolly's his best one. He says it's like pulling the wings off angels trying to take apart a joke. I think that's a bet.
I like that. That's a nicer one.
But
frog had to die in that.
No, no. I think the first week or the first day, you are like, oh, how do I do this again? But then you just get into it. I think you've read the scripts, so you've got a broad, understanding of where it's all going and stuff. And then every night, You do like 11 pages a day and then you get up the next morning, go to bed that night and you learn your lines and you're ready for the next day and you jettison them. So if somebody said to you like in week three, "We need to reshoot day one again," you'd go, "What? I ain't got that anymore. That's gone."
I mean, on Waterloo Road, there was a point where a few times where we'd be filming then we had to break for lunch.
Oh no, don't like that. But I think the food has a big impact on you as well. I think the carbs, I think all the potatoes.
Carb coma.
I think you'd call it a chip dip.
Yeah,
I think we call it a mash crash.
Yeah,
you call it whatever you want, but it's something that in the chips. And after dinner, you're a little bit. Oh.
You go, "I can't remember what my character's name is. Never mind.
No idea. I'm not even standing up. Was I standing up in that scene? Right. Let's shoot it all again when I'm sat down, lying down. I'm lying down here.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's whatever the short-term memory bit of your brain is, it's short-term memory generally, for TV anyway.
Yeah.
And also, interestingly, it changes how many pages you do depending on the budget of a show. So,
yes, exactly, yeah.
So like a drama that Steve's doing, you're saying, no, what, you're doing 10, 11 pages a day?
No, that's a lot. That's
a lot, isn't it?
It's like you said about the budget, yeah. On a normal, high-end line of duty, you'd be doing, you know, 8 or 9 pages a day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even I remember Lucy on the split, they'd be doing 5 or 6 pages a day.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
That's the dream. But then on a soap, you'd be doing 18 to 25 pages a day.
Yeah.
Because they've got to rattle through it. So that is a lot. But, you don't forget that you're seeing the best of the edited version. So we're having not only have we learnt it, but we've also got it nearby to have a quick look at. There's also somebody on set when you go, oh, line. And they'll give you, they can shout out your line so you can get on with it. As far as the plays are concerned, I mean, there's less of a hiding place when you're on stage.
But I suppose you're standing in this position when you said this line, you're holding that prop. So you learn from that, don't you? You learn from where, that is more of a muscle memory because you learn from where you are geographically, who you're talking to.
Definitely.
How you sat, what you're wearing.
Because I struggle to learn it, just... Once you've blocked it, work out where you are and hear it being said by other people. But I did say to Cassius, who was playing my brother in the show, and it was his like first professional job, and I had a lot to learn, the most to learn out of everybody. And I did say to him on the morning of the first day, I said, look, I just want you to know that I will always say something roughly of what I'm trying to say in this scene. Do not be waiting for the exact word for you
If you're waiting to say your line when I say weekend, I might not say that. I might say fortnight. I might say
exactly.
I might say Saturday, Sunday. I could say anything.
But I will roughly get there. So I guess you learn what your character is wanting to say. And often the best stuff, the stuff that's written really well, often it's the only thing you would say, or you can say.
Yeah, if it's written well, it's easier to learn because it's natural.
So, anyway, I hope that answers your question. I've got another question for Steve.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes from Chris. Hi, lads. What do you think is so good about Bee's Knees that they are constantly getting a shout-out all the time?
Well, it's hard to know, isn't it? Because I've never seen Bee's Knees.
No.
Yeah? But I have seen the dogs do dogs.
Yeah. And there's nothing to write home about.
Nothing special about them.
They're not nice at
so
all.
So is it one of those things that, like when you call someone curly, it's the opposite. Like it's really special. It's like the bee's knees. And that's, with the dogs. Because they're not particularly... Have they got knees? Have they even got knees? I don't think they've got a bendable
bit. The cat's whiskers. That's the other one,
isn't it? Cat's whiskers, yeah. Yeah. Well, and they are pretty special, though, because they can determine...
Well, they are something, yeah.
Yeah, they really are something. Whereas I think... I suppose the dogs... They're rarer than they used to be because I have lots of people, very just confused,
isn't it? I remember being a kid, I was about 7, and I went in and said to the teacher, she was asking about what we did at the weekend and stuff, and I said I was playing with the dog. She said, oh, tell me an interesting fact about your dog. And I said, my dog has got different coloured balls.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, whoa, let's not.
Too much information.
But he's got an orange
for throwing
ball that you throw, and a blue one that you throw. What are you on about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? That happened the other day on set. We were, one of the things on the menu was the options of the food. One of them was fish balls, and the director went, I bet they're quite small, which I thought was really good.
Yeah, tiny. I don't know where the bee's knees comes from.
No.
I don't know what the...
I don't mean they have knees. If you think about it, have they got knees? Maybe they have. Not knees, though.
No. The cat's meow.
I've never... Cat's meow. Imagine a knee going, like a bee just bumping into a flower and going, she banged my knee on that. You can't... And that's... That wouldn't happen, would it?
It says there's here that there's the popular folk etymology has the phrase referring to the world champion dancer, Bee Jackson.
Oh, so it's his knees.
So it's not the animal.
No, it's
Bee
Jackson because he's a brilliant dancer. And his knees are like, they go like lightning.
Yeah, maybe. That could be.
That makes sense.
I could believe that. But that's a good question. Good question. We've explored it as much as we possibly can. If you've got anything you want to ask me or Steve, Jason at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Music Matters.
We're all refreshed, ready for the new school term in September with our kids. All holiday was nice. I've got to say, the only thing I will say about Greece and Crete is lovely. Like I said, the hotel, really lovely. There's lots of different restaurants in the hotel. When you go out, you rarely go out for a bit of Greek.
No, what do you think of the food?
Well, it's just kebabs, isn't it, really?
No, they're like a fried fish, don't they?
They're like a fried fish. I mean, the tzatziki and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the dips are good. They're good at dips.
They're great at dips.
But I know what you mean.
World leaders at dips, I would say.
Yeah, I went to some, what was it? Heraklion, I think I went to. And it was like, it's a lot of fried fish. Whatever you ordered, like the fish fat, it was all fried. There wasn't any like, they're just like that little dust in a flour. And it's lovely, but...
Yeah, we did find some lovely restaurants, but if you get it wrong, you are getting a plate where you're looking at it thinking this is a deconstructed kebab.
Yeah,
this is Friday night 1 a.m.
Yeah,
but it was
you dropped it basically, and you've had to try and put it back together
on a plate and charge €16. Yeah, but no, it was lovely. I don't know if I'd rush back to. To Crete, but I would go again at some point. And all those islands are just nice. Just nice to get away, especially when it's raining back here. How nice is that when you're on holiday and it's raining back in England?
Yeah, every time you I was over there, and obviously it was a heat wave. And every time I FaceTime the family, it's like, oh, look at this now. It's just like rain running down the wind.
Awful. Absolute treat. It really was. But I was hoping that, because I like a package holiday because you know everything's included and all that sort of stuff. And someone said to me, "Oh, do you not get pestered by people like British people?"
Yeah, thereby suggesting that the package holiday is more for like your kind of people.
Yeah, which it is. That they're my crowd. Yeah, they're like working class people with a bit of spare cash.
Exactly. Yeah,
they're my people, and to go on holiday. And what's funny is, I heard a couple one morning at breakfast, so I could hear them saying, "Oh, that's Jason Manford over there." And the mum of the group, the granny of the group, was like, "Oh, well, it must be their first day. Oh, this must be a good hotel." Their presumption is if I'm there, because I'm off a telly.
You've got the star rating, yeah.
Yeah, they forget that I've spent like probably 6 weeks looking for an absolute bargain.
Because
I'm tight. If you see me on holiday, don't immediately think, "Oh, hey, this must be nice."
Yeah, because he's chosen it. He's researched this now. Not necessarily.
I mean, it was in this instance. It was absolutely lovely. But nobody bothers me, to be honest. I get because I'm never out late where people are hammered and they lose that sense of
so they can just personal go, space. "You know you." Yeah. So you don't got that bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and you're with your family the rest of the day, and people are generally
people are very respectful. And obviously, there's Germans and Spanish, and lots of people have no idea who you are. Anyway, loads of British people have no idea who you are. So it's only a handful of people, and if anything, they probably like you. There was a few Welsh lads who were like, "All right, Jason," and were trying to get me to join in their diving competition. I was like, "I'm all right, lads." "Ah, come on, it'd be a laugh." I was like, "Nah, I'm good. I'm good, thank you."
Nice. Yeah.
So. No, I'm fine with it. Like I've always said, like if you see me knocking around the Trafford Centre or whatever, just come and say hello. I'm always up for a little chat, and I'm also brilliant at ending the chat.
Yeah, haven't you got a hoodie that says "Don't talk to me"? Though,
I got that off the Mass Singer.
Yeah, but do you wear that when you go to the Trafford Centre?
I sometimes wear it on the train. if it's an early train down. Do not speak to me.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't speak to me before 10 a.m.
If you see you literally wearing a T-shirt that says "Don't speak to me," I mean, obviously, read the room, read the shirt, you know.
I'm always up for a natter. Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. So I've been... I sort of spent most of my holiday writing, actually. I was sort of writing my tour and... my work in progress gigs start. They start on the 11th of September. I've got a sold out run at the Salford Lowry. Got 16 gigs there over 2 weeks.
There's a lot of stuff about Greece because of where you are.
It's quite a lot
about
of stuff.
What you know, isn't it? You know vine leaves. What is the deal with vine leaves, everyone?
You know when you get in the pool and everyone says it'll be all right once you get in?
Yeah, but you just got to get your shoulders in.
Got to get your shoulders
in. It's not my shoulders I'm worried about. It's lower than that. That's where I can't get past.
There you go. We're off. 5 minutes on that. So I spent, I was sort of spent the day writing, then spent the afternoon with the family. But one of the things I started writing about, and I was going to talk about in the new tour, is people who, I mean, I've called it something, you know, that with a swear word in it, in for the stand-up, but for the radio, we'll call it people who make things up.
Right.
Pre-internet. Because the problem with the internet is it's destroyed that beautiful sort of moment, in often in a pub, where somebody would just say a fact or even an anecdote with absolute confidence that nobody could check this.
Yeah, we've read this before. Wikipedia was kryptonite for these people, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you could literally go, oh, what says here that they didn't do that?
Yeah, it's sort of spoilt it, hasn't it, in a way? Because there was a real magic to those people. And and we, you know, and right back to school, you know, when you were at school, there was always a lad who, you know, had a girlfriend you'd never met. You know, maybe had a motorbike that you'd never seen.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And he was 11, but he had a motorbike. He had an Harley. He couldn't, you know, it was probably, the chances are he was lying, but, you know. You can nowhere proving it.
Yeah, there's something sort of slightly magical about it. And the internet has spoiled that, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, yeah.
Have you got any famous sort of people in your life that you remember when you think of
There was a lad who I went to school with who was the king of the word that we can't say. And he just, you know, he invented this other character who's a guy on a motorbike who went out with Pamela Anderson. A girl who looked like Pamela Anderson, then she sadly died, and then Bon Jovi went past this bloke and went, as your girlfriend.
So he was a real, like...
Yeah, he was, as your girlfriend. Like, just after his girlfriend had died, Bon Jovi did, just sneered in his face. So he got Bon Jovi over a pool table and just held him down. It was in Nottingham, this happened. Because I don't know if you know much about Bon Jovi, but he's often seen wandering around snooker clubs in Nottingham, laughing at people's like dead girlfriends. That's what he's famous for, isn't it? That and you know the hair.
That's what I've heard.
So and this is all. This lad was 12. You know, 13.
Yeah.
The last time I saw him,
believe him.
No, the last time I saw him, but he said it with such conviction. He was quite a big lad. Last time I saw him, he was about 18. I hadn't seen him for about 5 years, and I said, "Are you all right, mate?" And he said, "Yeah, I've just did me a Kung Fu exam," because that's what it's called, isn't it? He said, it's for black belt. He was for black belt. And he said, I did all the practical. I failed the written test. Now, I didn't know there was a written test on Kung Fu. But again, he was still going 5 years later. So, and he did not. That's impressive. I swear, I can't emphasize how little he looked like a martial artist. Yeah. But he would have been a black belt, but failed it. By one point on the written test. So,
wow, that's unlucky. Well, he probably snapped the pencil or something with his strength.
Well, he was so strong. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but I miss those guys.
There's sort of two types of the BS-er.
Just storytellers.
There's the charmers, isn't there, who sort of relay sort of misheard info. Or,
I love a good story, so I'm fine with it. Yeah,
and they want to wow people. They want to, they might have. They pass it off as their own, exaggerate the details of a dull bit.
We all do this.
You know,
that's what your job
that.
Is, isn't it?
I mean, that's literally my job, But that's that. I can see the benefit in that. That's what we do. You know, that's the pursuit of, popularity, I suppose, and a little fib, little bit, you know, that's fine. And we don't mind those ones. The other ones are the pathological liars.
Yeah. There's ones where you feel like going, do you expect me to believe this? Do you genuinely think that you're telling me this and I think this is true? And you feel slightly slighted because you're
because you think
I'm stupid enough
thick.
To believe this. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was a good article about the sad demise of it in that I found in Huffington Post.
Yeah.
And he said it's actually a thing. It's called mythomania. Yeah, it's called mythomania. It's also known as the constant and often reasonless lying. And that's the key, isn't it? There's no reason for it about things that have no benefit. to oneself or others. He quotes Charles Dyke, who's a psychiatry professor at Yale. He says, in some cases, the lies are self-incriminating or damaging, which makes the behaviour even more incomprehensible.
It's great, though, isn't it? It's just, absolutely. I really miss those people.
I know, but the internet has spoils it. You know, you just want that random person just to be giving it, you know, hot chocolates, 2 packs, Dad, you know.
Yeah.
No way of Googling that to check it.
Yeah, no.
That's what I'm after. So do feel free to get in touch on social media. You can always drop us a line as well for a future show, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. We'll rate some of these guys and girls from the past. Adrian says, my mate was night fishing and couldn't catch anything, so packed up and went to leave. Mm-hmm. Car wouldn't start, flat battery, so we went back fishing. He only caught an electric eel and started the car battery.
Oh, that is brilliant. I mean, do you see what I mean?
That's, oh, I love gorgeous. That.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
There's nothing wrong with that story. There's
absolutely
right.
Nothing. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. So, obviously, logically, so if you got an electric eel, he's one end negative and one end positive. So you'd have to put the battery on the one, the black end on the tail, the red end on the head. Yeah, is that the way around? Because you don't want to get the wrong way around.
No, you don't. You know, that's dangerous to all of you. And what do you do? You can't hold it. So you must just have to leave it on car battery.
No, because I would imagine you can hold it as long as you're wearing sort of like plastic soled shoes or if you're off the ground. But if you touch the ground or anything else, earth yourself, you would probably get electrocuted.
Right.
So
right.
You just hold it, maybe in two. Maybe you got rubber gloves. Maybe he had some special gloves because he was fishing.
Be careful out there, guys. Do not try this at home. That's obviously a professional.
Well, that goes without saying. Do not try this at home.
Yes.
But it's a good idea. Do you know what? It's a good idea. If you've got a car that's got a bit of a dodgy battery, maybe keep a bucket in the boot with a couple of electric eels in.
Well, do you know what? I've been thinking about that because I've got an electric car and I do often think,
If you took the bit off where the fuel, where you attach the thing, you could probably just slide a couple in there.
Yeah, just as long as you feed them. Yeah,
That's like the Back to the Future car, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly. Caroline says, my father-in-law used to insist he went to Woodstock Festival. He used to point himself out on the picture of millions at Woodstock, and I believed him.
He might have done.
Yeah, he could have done.
I mean, why would you? Is it the one in Oxford? Yeah, not the one in America.
Exactly. I guess there is those like stories, isn't there, of, you know, the amount of Scousers who were at the Cavern Club.
Yeah.
You know, for the Beatles.
And the sort of Manx that were at that Sex Pistols gig at the Leicester Free Trade Hall. You know, there was 41
people.
Yeah,
exactly. You've got loads of just I was there. That happens a lot. Lexi says, I used to work with someone who said she had ridden the Lloyd's TSB horse.
Oh, that's good. I mean, because the thing is, what we were saying about checking stuff up, you actually can't find.
You can't check that. Even now, you can't check that.
No, she might have done.
No, there's no way of proving
that. It's such a good, because you can just, it's like with your best fact, you can literally walk, every time you walk past the bank, walk through a town centre. See that horse? I've ridden that. That's brilliant. That's very good.
Grant says, I remember the guy in the corner of the bar claimed he taught Carl Fogarty how to ride a bike. Yeah, I taught him everything he knows.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it. But again, that's you know, that would have been brought up. Like Carl Fogarty would have spoke about that in an autobiography.
Small town. Yeah, but in a small town where Carl Fogarty, he's from, like, where's he from? He's like Preston or Blackburn or something. Yeah. Isn't Carl Fogarty?
Don't know, yeah.
Everyone would have had a sort of brushing with him. You know, like, where I'm from, Cannock, it's Stan Collymore. Stan Collymore's a year older than me from Cannock. I've never met him. Everyone else has got a story about him. Doing this, doing that, breaking his leg when he was little, teaching him how to do kick-ups. He was in a year above me at school, never met him. So the chances are, lots of these stories are false.
Yeah, but beauties. Gary has messaged us on Facebook. He says, a man in a Wetherspoons in Sittingbourne at 11 in the morning some years back was telling me how he doesn't have to pay for holidays anymore since his uncle left him a helicopter in his will.
Brilliant. The thing is, we know so little about helicopters. You can say anything. There was a lad I worked with years ago who said, and he was probably about 16. He went to, and this is in Wolverhampton. Mm. His mate picked him up in the helicopter because they'd heard there was an all-female nightclub in Italy. He's 16. And he picked him up in the helicopter. He said, we flew there in the helicopter to Italy, yeah, to this club. He said, when we got there, obviously it's all girls, so they wouldn't let us in. So we flew above the building, and then we put it on autopilot, just left it going there. Dropped the ladder down, so left it going, no one in it. Dropped the ladder down, and then climbed down, and there was a glass dome on the roof, and they smashed that, and they got inside and had a brilliant night.
That's clever.
I mean, obviously, had a brilliant night was now the end of the story, as you can imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a room full of women and one 16-year-old lad. It ended a lot better than that. From Wolverhampton, yeah. But he said, I love the fact there was nowhere to park it in Italy. But as you know, Wolverhampton is full of helicopter pads, isn't it?
There's loads of them.
There's nowhere in Italy to drop an helicopter.
All over the place, yeah.
The idea that you could leave an helicopter with no one in it, just running.
Could you? I don't know. Maybe you could.
Not for the amount of time what he was up to.
Well, it's funny because the lad I was ended up being on holiday with, Ben, he's a pilot, not a full-time pilot. He's got an aeroplane, and that's his sort of hobby. He goes flying. He's got a little two-seater. Same one as Alan Sugar has got.
He's got his own aeroplane.
He's got his own aeroplane.
It was a fancy hotel, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. And I know, and he's not like... It's just, that's his hobby, I guess. He saved up, and I think he shares it with somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
But he often, like a couple of times a year, will just fly, like I think he flew to Guernsey, just took the family to Guernsey one afternoon on a Saturday, came back that night. So when the kid came into, when his son came into school on the Monday, the teacher's like, what did you do Saturday? And the kid said, oh, we went and had lunch in Guernsey for the day. And the teacher's like, yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure that happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it...
It can go against you, can't it?
It can go against you, yeah, exactly. Michael says, not Googleable, but a fella I know said he was out shooting deer with a crossbow once near a river. Yeah. And just as he pulled the trigger...
Sorry, don't. It's all right.
Right.
I need a second.
Okay.
He was out shooting deer with a crossbow near a river.
Listen to this.
Oh, no, well, I'm just trying to picture that in my head.
Yeah.
Near a river. I'm sure it's going to be important.
So he's on the other side of the river.
Yeah, of course he is.
And the deer is across the river, right?
Yeah.
Just as he's about to pull the trigger, Steve, a salmon,
I knew it was going to be a salmon,
jumps out, his arrow's gone through it and pinned it to the deer.
So it's like surf and turf. But he's still over the other side of a river. So he's got, how's he going to go and get it? He's got to swim across the river.
That is unbelievable. I mean, that is, I believe that.
That's amazing.
That's unbelievable, that. So we can go from the sublime, to the basic. You know, Sue says, my stepfather invented the 1970s pub-style chicken in a basket.
Again, you can't... I bet that's not available, who invented
chicken in a basket. You can't Google who invented chicken in a basket. Who's going to...
That's what I mean. That's not available. So you've got to take them at their word.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I think we should bring them back. I think we should... There should be a pub.
Yeah.
Maybe it should just be called the, you know...
Yeah,
the bull.
The tall tale. Yeah, the bull. Yeah, the bull. It's called the bull.
It's called the bull.
The picture is not the bull.
No, exactly.
The picture is an emoji, we all know.
And it's got a lead ceiling, so you can't Google anything. You can't use the internet. There's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And it's just a place where people go.
That's a great idea. It's just it's like something in Greenwich Village in the 60s, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a place for tall tales and storytellers. Yeah.
Oh, I'd go
it's
there.
It's just a picture of Peter Ustinov behind the bar.
Yeah.
And it's just great stories.
Well, he used to work there, you know.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hit me with your best fact. Fire away. All right, it's time for Hit Me With Your Best Facts, the weekly game we play here on the show, where you send us your best facts and the best one gets themselves an absolute radio mug. Shall we get straight into them, Steve?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, Lee has emailed. He says, a descendant from the family who invented broccoli is responsible for having the James Bond stories being turned into films.
I think that's true, isn't it?
We're into facts now.
Oh, I know, but I think I've heard that one.
Yeah, I've heard that one. Yeah, well, Cubby Broccoli, of course, and Barbara Broccoli.
Yeah, they created this cross sort of vegetable, didn't they, which was half this and half cabbage, half cauliflower, half kale or something or other. But yeah, they're part of it. That's right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Got no, yeah, we'll have that one. It was, I don't know if it actually, because isn't it like thousands of years old, the broccoli?
Yeah, but wasn't it just
certainly
like
hundreds of years old?
Weirdly growing in their garden. Went, oh, what's that?
What, you think they saw it and went,
and then started eating it? I'm busy.
Yeah. They also, yeah, so they started, they produced it rather than invented it. I think they started,
they marketed it, didn't they?
And I've met Barbara Broccoli actually, because the Broccolis also own the rights to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh yes, right. Well, I see in Fleming as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I see in Fleming. Well, there you go. When I did that on tour,
I imagine Barbara Broccoli looks like, you know, you know when you can do those like little face things when you're talking on FaceTime and turn your head into an emoji of poo. I think there is one when you can turn your face into a broccoli with eyes. Is that what she looks like?
No, not at all.
That's a surprise.
No, I'm sorry about that. She's just a very elegant looking woman. Actually, I think she went out with somebody famous, didn't she? Didn't she go out with
Ringo or somebody like that?
James Martin.
Oh, is she that young? Oh, is she?
The chef. Oh, yeah, yeah. She's like, I'd say early 60s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm pretty sure there's another mad story that he broke up with her because she bought him a Aston Martin.
Oh. I thought she bought him some broccoli. It was his food.
Cut that.
I don't know.
That's me food heaven.
Food hell, yeah.
But yeah, apparently he was like, she tried to buy him like a 200 grand car, and
comfortable with this.
He was uncomfortable with.
Did James Martin tell this story? Ims,
to be honest, he tells the story. Yeah,
in the pub. Yeah, I used to go to Barbara Broccoli. She tried to buy me a Aston Martin, so I dumped her. Yeah, I got it anyway. Wouldn't start. It had an electric eel.
It does sound like that.
It just sounds like one of those stories that could be in the ball. That lovely pub.
We've got another one here from Kay, who says, I like these ones. This is just six words, this one, Steve.
Oh, that's good, the six words ones.
Slugs helped the Allies win World War One.
Slugs helped the Allies win World War One.
That's good.
I mean, I didn't know what that could be referring to. I mean, unless the, you know...
Do they mean the animal, the slugs?
Yeah. Well, maybe they don't, yeah. Unless the, you know, the bad guys were living on just, like, garbage. No, like sort of garden vegetation, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just put a load of slugs in and they ate all their food and they went, I'm starving, just give up. Like, I don't know how to fight anymore. Something's ate all my cauliflower.
All my lettuce. Yeah. I like that one because it's short enough for me wanting to Google it to find out more. She's done well, Kay. She's worked out the game.
Yeah, she has. Good. That's a good way of doing it, just six words.
Yeah.
If you could make it or condense it into six words, it would make it harder, wouldn't it?
It would be really tough, yeah.
Like James Bond, inventor broccoli. You know what I mean?
Well, James is not that many more words, to be honest, in his one. He says, on average, pigeons in London have 1.6 feet.
That's pretty good, though, isn't it, on average?
That's pretty good.
1.6 feet.
Yeah, there's loads of one-legged ones,
isn't it? Closer to, you know, 1.5, isn't it, that is?
Yeah.
If
yeah,
it's 1.8,
yeah.
I'd think they just lost a toe or something. But like 1.6 is... There's hardly any point, isn't that? Is there?
What? So what's happened there? Losing
what's happened
feet?
There? I don't know, I mean, because once they get it... How are they losing feet? Yeah, because if they get it by a car, then, you know, the feet
it's dead,
are,
yeah.
Yeah. Although you don't see a lot of dead pigeons in London, do you?
No, not considering
when you get
how
out
many
of London.
You
only get into Kent. I've said this before, but I saw once about 6 months ago. I did see a badger moving, but I've only ever really seen a badger dead at the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Kent, that's where you see them, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, pigeons.
There's
a lot. 1.6. Kevin says, Sir Nils Olav III, Baron of the Bouvet Islands, was recently promoted to Major General. The strange thing is, he's a penguin.
Oh, okay.
Came out of nowhere, didn't it?
It did, but you have like an emperor penguin. Is it some sort of ranking system that, you know?
I don't know, but why has he been promoted?
Well, maybe he's, I don't know, what makes him different? He's grown a different tail.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
He's been promoted to what?
He's now a Major General.
Okay. Maybe it's a bit of a dig at the last Major General. They didn't do much, and they've gone, do you know what? Yeah. Penguin could do your job. Yeah. He's just meant to like look out on the island that nobody's invaded.
I think he's at a zoo. I feel like I've read that.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere. I think he's at a zoo here. I think in the UK somewhere.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
I don't know where.
Is he good at saluting?
Some good fact, maybe. Some good facts coming in so far. We've got Abby who says, morning, Jason. Morning, Steve. Wanted to say hello to you from Dubai.
Dubai.
We love when you do your stand-up here in the UAE. But anyway, here is my best fact. Samsung, which is a $520 billion company, making everything from electronics to satellites, started as a noodle maker.
Oh, that's good.
In a grocery store. In a grocery store.
Grocery store.
Grocery. A grocery store.
That is good. That's I like because then all those companies. Remember that thing about Nintendo's formed in like 1890 or
1890.
Something.
1890. Card game company.
Manufacturers or something. So Samsung is started as a noodle. I wonder when that was then.
Yeah. Like a grocery store and
more like that. That's a good
Samsung
one to know.
Samsung noodles. That is good. Pretty good. Good start. To this section. Baz says soap and butter were once the same thing and used for both cleaning yourself as well as spreading on bread. Oh gosh, that's disgusting.
I suppose they weren't perfume though, were they? And it is made out of like animal fats, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I guess so, yeah.
That's mad, isn't
But which it? One would you rather, like now, modern day?
Modern
would you rather
day,
put soap rather, on a piece of bread or wash yourself in butter?
I'd rather wash myself in butter.
Definitely. And Tuck says, travel from Hawaii to Antarctica in a straight line and you will cross the international date line 7 times. Oh. You will go from today to tomorrow to today to tomorrow to today to tomorrow to today to tomorrow.
Oh, that's like the Chuckle Brothers just going through time.
Time travelling Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah.
Pretty good. This is a strong finish, this, I must say. Good ones here. Terry says John Barnes only got paid £200 for his John Barnes rap on New Order's World in Motion.
I suppose because it's England, isn't it? You don't get paid for England appearances, do you? And it's kind of. But he said, yeah, they would have got money for the song.
They would have got some dosh for
like
that.
The FA went, do it for free. They would have got some money for it. I mean, he's done it a fair few times since. I bet he has been paid.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah.
I miss that about footballers doing. Doing
taking themselves
a record.
Doing, yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
They don't even do a chorus now, do they? You know what I mean? You know, when was the last one? What was the last one? Was it Three Lions or has there been another one since?
But Three Lions wasn't even the players, was it?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but I mean,
like Waddle and Hoddle or something.
Yeah, that was. I don't know what that was. But that wasn't to promote an upcoming tournament. That was just them going, we're pop stars now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a. Did Kevin Keegan sing a song? I feel like he sang a song at some
point.
Yeah,
Keegan did.
Yeah.
United did one in. That would have been like 94, 95, didn't they? Come on, you Reds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
Paul
know.
Scholes, did he have any single?
I don't think so.
Trying to imagine him on Top of the Pops.
I don't think so.
I'd like to see that. Like a really sort of banging dance tune, and he's just stood completely still.
Bob Mortimer and Chris Rea did one, didn't they, for Middlesbrough?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
That was in the 90s.
Yeah, so this specific team. Madness did a Chelsea one, didn't he? But he didn't have any Chelsea ones, did he?
Gazza did with Lindisfarne, didn't he?
With Lindisfarne, yeah. Fog on the Tyne. What was that for? Was that just because Gazza was popular?
Just because it's Gazza, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know if I'm going to have a little look into that, see if any football teams have done one. In the last 20 years.
Since whatever, back home and, yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, missed that. That was a good addition to British culture, that.
Yeah.
I mean, they were terrible, but there was...
Yeah, but it's just, but I like to see the pain. I like to see them going, you, defenders, sink. Yeah. You do falsetto, you be the bass down the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Scholesy, can you dance?
All right, we're heading into our last three facts. For Hit Me With Your Best Facts this week. Been some good ones so far.
Yeah.
Although I'm still slightly mixing them up with our pub stories?
I think some of them. What we were talking about there, some of these facts do destroy those stories, don't they?
Yes, yes, suppose so.
That's a sad thing.
But do you know what? Like that John Barnes World in Motion one there.
Yeah.
If we were in a pub, if we were in the Bull,
yeah,
with the lead roof and no phones, right?
Yeah.
You'd say, hey, you know John Barnes, he only got paid 200 quid for the John Barnes rat. And you go, no way. And then I'd say, when was the last time somebody had a hit? And that conversation would last 2 hours.
Yeah, and then a fella at the other side of the bar went, I did a duet once with Ruud van Nistelrooy. And we'd have to believe him.
Yeah. But all those conversations that used to last hours while you were going, did Everton do one? You know,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's all gone, because someone just Googles it in a second.
It's not been one, no.
We need to work out a way of getting that back. That was a good time, that.
Yeah, I know.
So last three. Andrew says, the moon is moving away from Earth at the same rate as fingernails grow.
Oh, is it?
That's a weird correlation. Are they? It's not correlated.
No.
Is that a coincidence? Or our fingernails?
Pushing it away.
Yeah, with our nails.
Or like does the moon... Screaming away, like, oh, God, look at these nails. Moving
can't
away.
Even look at them.
Yeah,
can't
even look. God, it's horrible.
Or does the moon control our nails like it does the tides?
Is it drawing them out, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's quite fast, that.
And think about it, when you got like a crescent moon, that's what looks like when you cut your nails. That's what drops off, isn't it? Like a little...
Weird.
You know what I mean?
Kaz says the most consecutive days that it's rained is 331 in Maui. So I guess we shouldn't really complain in this country.
No.
Imagine 331 days of rain. It has felt like that in this country sometimes, though.
But imagine those 30 odd days when it wasn't raining. How much fun they had that year.
Oh, like, Beth.
I hope they came in a block rather than like stop for one day and then rain for 2 weeks. Stop
that
for
would
one
be
day.
Really harsh.
Do you know what I mean? You want to enjoy it, don't you? At least you know not to bother getting the garden furniture out. You know what I mean? You just put it away.
Yeah, leave it.
Not going to need that for a bit. I don't know if it surprises you more.
What, the rain? I know.
Yeah.
I gave someone a lift the other week just because they'd obviously gone out in sandals and shorts and he was walking back from Sainsbury's. I didn't know him.
Lashing down the rain.
But you know when it just the sky had opened up and he's like in a T-shirt?
Yeah, he hadn't thought of it. I don't like being surprised by rain.
I
like
sort of
that.
Pulled up. I was like, do you want a lift?
Yeah.
He took it. He didn't care that I was a stranger. He was straight in.
Yes, please.
I'll risk it. And last one, Stuart says, Peter Jackson owns the original car from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Peter Jackson, director, does he?
I presume so. The Lord of the Rings
from
fella.
From Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. How's he
why got, has he done that?
Why has he bought that? Because he's got no connection. He's like, he did horror films in any sort of, in the Beatles now, and he...
Yeah.
You know, invented that. So isn't he invented a kind of way of restoring, like an AI thing, isn't he? Because he did that film about the
First
World War, didn't he? When he sped them all up and he slowed them all down, I mean, and then put voices on them. And then with the Beatles, he cleaned all that up with AI, didn't he? And he isolated all the... So
I don't know. That's good on that. Link
to... This is, again, we're back to Ian Fleming again, aren't we? It's
back
very,
to Ian Fleming, full circle.
Yeah, we've gone... We've
There's
gone
quite a few of those cars, though, because... I know there was one that sold for like 2 million or something. I think.
How old's the film? Is it like 60s, 50s?
60s, yeah.
60s.
But there was one, because in the, like even within the film, I'm pretty sure there was one that floated, one that drove, and one that went on water.
Right, okay. So there's three there.
So he must
least.
Have the one that drives.
Yeah. Oh, do you reckon he just nips to the shop in it? Still works?
Yeah, I guess so. Why wouldn't you want to use it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm just going to go there. I'm nipping down the co-op.
I mean, I've got Chitty in my front garden, haven't I? But not that, not the one for £1 million. It cost me about 600 quid, and it's the old one that they find in a junkyard. My mate Dave has just had the world's first. He bought a DeLorean.
Oh, did he buy one?
Yeah, he bought a DeLorean, but this is it for a world's first. You might have seen it in the papers actually the last few weeks. It's took him about a year to do it. He's had this company put a Tesla engine. So it's now a... So it drives...
It's the classic DeLorean, the one from...
From the film.
Back to the Future, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's basically... he's got... Like,
it's an electric car.
Yes, an electric car, but it's a DeLorean. Because DeLorean famously...
Nuclear.
It was rubbish, wasn't it?
Well, it's nuclear.
In the film, yeah.
Well, no, it's not nuclear. Sorry, it's not nuclear. This nuclear? No. This sucker's electrical. It's not nuclear.
Okay, we're going to pick a winner for Hit Me With Your Best Facts this morning. I'm going to rattle through them, Steve, because it's been an hour or so. Here we are. So we had descendants from the Broccoli family who own the James Bond franchise. They invented broccoli, possibly. But certainly first produced broccoli. Kay says slugs helped the Allies win World War One.
Intriguing.
Pigeons have 1.6 feet, according to James. Sir Nils Olav, who's a penguin, has just been promoted to Major General of the Bouvon Islands. Abby told us about Samsung originally being a noodle maker.
That is good, isn't it?
Soap and butter were both used to do the same things. Hawaii to Antarctica, according to Tuck, means you go through the international dateline 7 times, today, tomorrow. John Barnes only got paid £200 for John Barnes' rap. The moon's moving away from the Earth at the same rate as fingernails. 331 days was the most consecutive days of rainfall. And Peter Jackson owns the original Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Steve, what do you think?
There's a lot there, isn't there? I mean, there's a lot of good facts there. Yeah. I think the one I want to know more about is the Samsung thing, because I think... That's everywhere. I've got 2 Samsung tellies and people have got Samsung phones. It'd be good to go, to be able to throw that fact out. If you had the full fact, you could go, in 1978, Tony Samsung, right? He made some chow mein and you could somehow, tell the full story.
Tony Samsung.
That's his name, isn't it? If his name's Tony Samsung.
Well, I can tell you that Samsung was founded as a grocery trading store in 1938 by Lee Byung-chul. Right. And he's trading noodles and other goods produced in and around the city, exporting them to China and its provinces.
Yeah. Where did he get the name Samsung?
The company Samsung comes from the Korean for 3 stars.
Oh, so it's not even that good.
No, so he didn't even rate himself.
Well, it depends what it depends what his rating system is. He might be out of 3. If it's out of three, that's top marks. If it's out of 10, it's not great.
No, yes, exactly. But yeah, they first entered the electronics industry not until 1969.
Okay.
Black and white tellies. There you go.
Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it? From 1969 to be probably the second, is it, after Apple?
I guess so, yeah.
Phones, definitely.
Impressive, well done. Impressive work from Samsung. So that was a solid fact there. I do feel a little bit sorry for Kay, who told us about the slugs of World War One, because that was very good.
I want to know
good.
More about that, but I don't know if it's slugs or...
I think it'll be the animal slugs or the insect slug or whatever you call them. But yeah, I know what you mean. The Samsung one, we can get that into conversation a bit better. So that's Abby. Oh, crikey, hang on, Steve. We might have to pull back here. She's from Dubai. How are we going to get a mug out to Dubai?
Well, it's not our problem.
It's not our problem, is it?
That's not our problem.
Pass that. I don't even know whose problem that is.
It won't be in one piece. I mean, people have had one, just in Greater London that hasn't arrived in one piece. So, the idea that it's going to get,
Well, well done, Abby. You win this week's Hit Me With Your Best Facts. If you want to join in next week, all you've got to do is email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. So you're flying back out to Gozo.
Gozo on Monday for another 9 weeks of filming. So I'll be back in November.
Lovely stuff. You can see me. I will be in Brighton this week. I've got 3 nights doing the Forge Comedy Club there. And then I'm in Tenerife next Friday, opening up a Manford's Comedy Club.
Oh, nice.
In Tenerife. And you can catch me every day at 4:30 on BBC One with The Answer Run, which turns out, Steve, is the BBC's biggest daytime quiz show for the last decade.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
It's gone well, hasn't it?
That's not bad, is it? I've not seen it yet, but I'll have a little look when I get time.
Yeah, it's good. It's a little 50-50. It's a doddle, but it gets harder and harder. And, of course, you might have seen this week, if you follow my socials and the BBC, that the Waterloo Road dates have been announced as well, as I join Waterloo Road as the new head teacher. That starts on the 10th of September on BBC One at 9 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time here on Absolute Radio.